Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show. Say what? What did she say? I am a god? Well, what does that mean? What is a god? And what does a god do? Well, tonight I wanted to discuss this word god. Big subject, huh? I'll bet there isn't a person in the world that, within the sound of my voice or anyone else in the world that doesn't have some type of a reaction to this word. And a lot of times, you know, there's a big resistance to this word. And most places, most times, most people have a personal idea of what or who God is, although this idea has probably been taught to them by somebody else. And there are big ideas about who and what God is that affect what I call the mass mind consciousness. And by that, I mean, you could just ask anybody walking down the street in Times Square in New York City a question, and every single person nearly would give the same answer to the question. This is an answer that is in the minds of all of the people, hence the mass mind at all of us. And an example of this is, actually, I am a professional officiant for the state of California. I am legal to marry couples. And over the past 20 years, I have married more than 2,000 couples. I married them at the beach in Laguna Beach, California. And when I first started doing ceremonies, I ran into this mass mind consciousness. It's a consciousness that believes that a person who marries people represents God, and God is a man. And how in the world would I be legal to marry people, because I'm a woman and God is a man? I mean, I'm a member of the clergy. Well, it's clergyman, not clergywoman, clergyman, in the original sense of it all. So how could I represent God? Because everyone believed that we represented God. And, of course, we all know that God is a man. I mean, even I say God, he, don't you? If you were talking about God, wouldn't you say God is love and he loves me? So I developed an answer for this. First of all, I say I do not represent God. I represent the state of California. And God is spirit and manifests as male and female, at least in this universe. This is a sexual universe, male and female. Now, as far as me not representing God, actually, I do represent God. And if that sounds contradictory, that's why I am going to do this, talk about this today. Because remember, all truth is paradoxical, which means that truth is big enough to hold the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And at one end of the spectrum is one truth, and at the other end of the spectrum is the rest of the truth. So don't get bogged down here in small concepts. Let's look at this, look at the big picture here. I'm a reflector, and that's part of my job here on Earth, is to help people see the bigger picture. So that's what I'm going to try to do today. Okay, so before we go any further in this discussion, I want to read to you a scripture out of the Psalms, because while Jesus was here on earth for his little short stay of 33 years, he quoted this scripture to the people of his day. It's Psalms 82, and it's verses 1 through 6. Okay, so first of all, this says that God is standing in the congregation of his representatives. So God, now this is God with a big G, is standing in the congregation of his representatives, God's with a little g. He says, this congregation of representatives are God's. Know ye not that ye are God's? Okay, actually, I believe that this God with the big G is Yahweh. And I don't want to get off track here, but just know that many times in the Bible where the word God is used, it is God in the sense of administration. And there are many, many, many levels of administration in the universe. Now, Yahweh is the God who gave Moses the law and who made the Jews his chosen people. And Yahweh is a tough God, let me tell you. He has lots of rules and regulations and systems and levels of importance and a lot of separation in his administration. And that's okay at the level he operates on. After all, he had the mission to prepare a root race to allow Jesus to come to earth. I mean, that's a lot of the reason for all those adamant regulations and about Gentiles being dogs and no intermarriage. Now, you caught that, didn't you, where I had to correct myself. I had said God, he, and then I said God, he, she. Well, let me just digress here a moment. These gods were androgynous, male and female, and their consorts would be androgynous, male and female. So when they create and co-create together, they are creating from the union of male to male, female to female, female to male, and male to female. Now, let me tell you, this is an orgasm that is way beyond anything that we know about right now. So actually, we as a mass mind, or as community here on Earth, are experimenting with these ideas right now in preparation for each and every one of us becoming androgynous, because we're at the very, 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 very teeny tiny beginning stages of this. And if you want to understand what all the hullabaloo is about same-sex marriage and gay rights, this is what is going on in the bigger picture. Because some of us are entering into our androgyny now, a lot of us, in less conspicuous ways, but also in community. Because I'm a so-called single person, and almost all of my friends are so-called single persons. I haven't always been single. I was married and had children. I've been single for a long time now, but I'm entering into my androgyny in preparation for being God Big G. And, you know, currently we are male or female in outward appearance, but in the inward essence of our hearts, we relate to one another in androgyny. And perhaps I'll do a show on this in the future, as it is it's a subject that deserves more attention than I can give to it right now. So, okay, back to Psalm 82. So God, Big G here, is standing in the congregation of his gods, little g. Now the word for these gods, little g, is Elohim. And this, my friends, is the word that is used for God in Genesis. It's the Elohim who got together and created our universe and our galaxy and our solar system and our Earth and us. And this is a plural word. It always means more than one. The Elohim are gods. Big G and little g. So the Psalms say that the Elohim, who has advanced and who is in an administrative position of leadership, is talking to his Elohims, little g's, and this big G Elohim isn't very happy with them. He, she says that they haven't been doing a very good job of being a god. Okay, now this would be like a staff sergeant having a meeting with the troops. Actually, in this case, it would be a general having a meeting with his lieutenant generals. A looser translation of this word Elohim is magistrates or even sovereigns. Now we're really getting somewhere, because to just put this in really simple terms, this is like a manager talking to his employees or a quarterback talking to his team or a judge addressing the jury or a mother talking to her child. This is gods in authority talking to gods under his her authority. And yet everyone is a god. Everyone is sovereign. Okay, I hear a lot about this sovereignty today. And what sovereignty is that we have free will. And we are sovereign beings with the power to create. This is true. I talk a lot about this aspect of ourselves on my show. I sometimes feel like a quarterback talking to his or her team, because I have a deep desire within me to see all of us realize the fullness of who and what we are, because we are gods. Little Elohims out here, awake or asleep, at work or at play, going about our business, going to work, coming home, trying to figure it all out, doing the best that we can. And I see a lot of hopes and dreams that haven't been realized yet. Those deepest desires of our heart that stir our emotions and create a longing for fulfillment. I see what this Elohim in the Psalms saw. How long will you judge unjustly? How long will you accept the persons of the wicked? When will you defend the poor and the fatherless? When will you do justice to the afflicted and needy? And finally, he says, all of the foundations of our earth are out of course. And I would say, Selah. And this means stop and think about this. And then he says, ye are gods. Ye are the children of the Most High. And here the word for the Most High is El Elyon, the Most High God. See, this is this Elohim's boss. And this Elohim, who is the God with the big G, has to report to El Elyon. So he's saying, look here, you know, I have to give my report. And you're gods. You're the children of the Most High. You're his children, his her children. And yet ye die as men. And finally he says, arise. Ye are gods, big G. In other words, you little gods with the little g, arise and become God with a big G, for thou shalt inherit the earth. Ooh, here it is. This is our destiny. We're to inherit the earth. We'll talk about a big inheritance. as little Elohims, we know about that word, inheritance. Let me tell you about an experience I had with this word, inheritance. I worked at a bank here in my community for a couple of years, and there was this lovely gentleman who came into the bank once a week. At the first of the month, he came to deposit his Social Security check, and then every week he came in to get some walking around money. And he always waited to come to my window. He always was all dressed up, you know, looking very dapper. And one day, I guess he just finally got up his nerve and he asked if I would have dinner with him. And so we started seeing each other, and he immediately wanted me to be with him. Oh, he was quite a bit older than I was, and you know, when you're older, you know you maybe don't have a lot of time left. Older person wants to take advantage of the amount of time they have left and not waste any of it. So he told, he was such a lovely man. So I told him I would need to have a trial period with him. So I said, let's just go to Hawaii for a week, and we will live together during that week. Because, you know what, let's face this, we can know right almost in the moment whether we're going to want to be with somebody. There's no mystery about this. This is a sexual universe, and we have those that knowing, you know, this is a good person. I could love this person, and I could feel his love for me. He just was head over heels. So he said, okay. And so we made the plans to go to Oahu, and we had an absolutely wonderful, wonderful time. So I told him I would be with him. Well, not long after we got back from Hawaii, I got a call from his daughter. And she asked, this was his only daughter, by the way, and she asked if we could have lunch together. And innocently, I thought to myself, well, isn't this nice? And I looked forward to meeting her at the very expensive restaurant she has suggested that we go to. And she was very cordial in greeting me, invited me to sit down and order whatever I wanted, her treat. And we had a lovely lunch, and I shared some things about the trip that I had taken with her dad and how much fun we had. And then this daughter got down to business, and she looked me straight in the eye, and she said, in a very firm and unrelenting attitude, Marcy Ann, you are a lovely lady, and it does seem that my father enjoys being with you, but you need to know I am in charge of my dad's money, and I am here today to tell you that my father's money is for his long-term care and my inheritance, and I want you to not see him anymore. You just tell him you've decided you do not want to be together. Well, I looked her straight back in the eyes, and I said, that is not what I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him that you told me I wasn't to see him anymore. And that's exactly what I did. But within 2 weeks, that daughter put her dad's home up for sale. She put him in a nursing home close to her house. And within 2 months, he died. And he died of a broken heart because there was nothing physically wrong with him that would have taken his life in that short of a time. So I know, I think all of us know about inheritances. I live here in a retirement community of 18,000 people, and I see these children come and see their parents, and I hear them talk. Even my own kids have some sense about their inheritance. Kids think of their parents' money as their money. It's their inheritance. But our real inheritance as children of the Most High El Elyon is the earth. Now, I'm not going to take this into a tangent about going green. That is a part of taking care of our inheritance, but we need to go back to the how. How is the earth our inheritance? What does this really mean? Because remember, the Elohim said, ye are gods, the children of the Most High. Now, here is our connection to the earth. As children of the Most High, we are gods. Right now, we are gods, little g, but we are to become gods, big G, and have dominion over all the earth. Now, to have dominion over all the earth, we have to start with ourselves. Because until we have dominion over all of ourselves, we certainly aren't going to have any dominion over all the earth. So going green is kind of useless unless we've already gone green with ourselves and removed all of the debris out of the body and all of our negative thoughts and healed all of our bruised and abused emotions. I'm not saying quit going green because every little bit helps, but I'm just saying that the biggest effect that you can have here on earth is to take dominion within your own life and begin to exercise the sovereignty of your position as a child of the Most High. Now, I want to get to the heart of why I wanted to talk about this today, because this is a free will planet. And this is a double-edged sword. Because the power of free will is the power to create and destroy. The power of free will is the power to unite and to separate. The power of free will is the power to be in dominion and to be in slavery. The power of free will is the power to be rich and the power to be greedy. The power of free will is the power to be raped and the power of the rapist. Power of free will is the power to make war and the power to make peace. Free will itself is neutral. The power is channeled into free will by the fact that we are gods, the children of the Most High. You know what? This is such a big idea that even as I sit here and write this script, even as I sit here and think about this myself, I see the dichotomy of it. I see the enormity of it. I see the paradox. It's like it's a trick. Like almost this group of original Elohims who set this all up sat around one day and said, what would happen if we gave this planet free will? Then we could just sit here and watch what they do every day, be entertained, see what happens. You know, like we're monkeys in a cage, and we're just this great big experiment. And you know what? In reality, that's kind of what it is. We're an experiment. And time again, and over, this experiment has failed. Other civilizations have been here. Great civilizations, like the one who built the pyramids using technologies way beyond what we know about today. Civilizations who knew the harmonic powers of sound, how to use the magnetic energies of our sun. Civilizations who developed robotic races to do all of the menial work. civilizations who've traveled to and from other parts of the cosmos and worked easily and daily with other members of our solar system and our galaxy. These civilizations rise and they fall. They create and they destroy. And now here we are again at a choice point. At a time when we can try it all again. We are being given another chance. Because somewhere in the overall origins of universal life and even beyond that, the all of the all still thinks that this experiment is worthwhile and has the potential to develop a unified field of energy that only operates in perfect, unconditional love in the highest and best good of all and for all. So what could we look at today that could help us do it this time? I believe the secret is in the words of Jesus. And you might want to listen to some of my other shows where I talk about Jesus, who he really is. But to just say it in 25 words or less right now, I believe that Jesus was the first Adam, and the Bible is his story. And he finally got it right. And that's why his story says he became the second Adam, and Jesus has now been promoted to be in charge of our universe. He's one of those Elohims, God with the big G, who's allowing us this chance to try it again. And while he was here, he even used this scripture from the Psalms to remind the people of his day, "Know ye not that your scriptures say ye are gods?" And he took his people, the people of his day, to task, saying they were of their father, the devil. These were the religious leaders of his day he was talking to. So what did Jesus say was the key to his success? Listen. Listen with your whole being. He said, "I of my own self can do nothing. It is the Father within me that doeth the work." So here it is. Here's the paradox. We are a God, little g. Yes, we have free will. Yes, we can do whatever we want. Yes, we can create. And we do create each and every minute, every second. We are creating with our thoughts, with our emotions, with our ideas, with our ambitions, with our hopes and our dreams and our deepest desires. But are we actually creating, or what are we destroying? What is the secret to using our free will? So Jesus said it was the Father that doeth the work. Now the work he's talking about is all of his so-called miracles that he did. Healing the sick, opening blind eyes, causing cripples to walk, multiplying food and feeding 5,000 people with 2 loaves and 5 fishes, walking on the water, stilling the storm, speaking his word to a soldier far, far away and healing him, transporting from one place to another, standing in the presence of Elijah and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, showing his disciples his light body, and raising from the dead. These were the works he did. And he said to the people of his day, "Even if you don't believe I am who I say I am, believe me for my works alone. My works declare who I am. Now here's the core of the message. He called the source of his works the Father, but he said it as I am the I am. Now here is the unconditional and the sure power that only operates in the highest and best good of all concerned, the I am. Jesus acknowledged that this was the source of his power. When he said, I am God, it was the I am that spoke first. I am was the source of his ability to be God. And he said he could have called a legion of angels to come and deliver him from the rigors of the cross in his own free will. He could have opted out of that, but he didn't. And he was challenged to change stones into bread. I know you're hungry. If you're a God, just make bread out of these stones. You can take control here and make stones into bread and eat. And he could have. He could have exercised his free will, but he didn't. Jesus never violated or misused the power of his free will. He kept the power of his free will within the scope of the purpose of the overall will of the I Am presence that was within him. And he called this I Am presence within him the kingdom of God, and he said it was within every man. This is the mysterious and the unidentified. No way to really give it a name. The I Am, this all-knowing, all-loving, all that is. Jesus said this was his power. He said this was his source. Jesus said that of his own self, he could do nothing, but through the I Am, he was God. And this is God with a big G. So when I do this show, I sit before my computer and I go within to my heart, where this I Am presence beats my heart. And I purposely and in sincere humbleness, I yield the power of my free will to the I Am presence. And I say, not my will, O Lord, but thine be done. Let me be the hose today, that hose that lets the stream of living waters, the truth of the all in all, flow through me today so that all of your Elohims can be filled with the fullness of the I Am presence in order to be your more pure representative. To help them grow up and be the fully manifested child of the Most High, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Selah! So that's the purpose of this show tonight, dear one. You're in development as a God. We have another chance to make it this time. The earth is our inheritance, and each and every one of us has a position in the overall administration of all things. We are in training. We're being prepared. So stand in the presence of the Most High as his child and say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I am ready to take my place in the congregation of the gods. Well, this is Marcy Ann. Wow. What a message, huh? I stand in awe of it myself. And I am going to say aloha to you now. Aloha is a wonderful word. Before I do that, I want to let you know that my music is by visionarymusic.com. This music has been designed and created especially for our transformation into being the gods. Big G! I encourage you to get it. Visionary.com. I use it every day. Help me realize my full potential as the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So with that, I'm going to say aloha. Aloha means hello, goodbye, and I love you.